Have you ever wanted God to do a miracle on your behalf? I don't mean like, God, help me find a parking spot. I mean, God, I need you to make the sun stand still. I need you to part the waters. I need you to do something that only God could do. Well, I started a new school in sixth grade. And also in sixth grade, I suddenly discovered girls are amazing. And no girl was more amazing than Mandy Giacosa. Now, this is unfortunately on YouTube, which means some of you watching this went to school with me in sixth grade and you're laughing right now because you know that Mandy was way out of my league. And I knew that Mandy was way out of my league also, but the heart wants what the heart wants, as they say. And Mandy wasn't mean to me, and that was enough to give me hope. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, hope is a powerful thing. So I prayed and I asked God for a miracle. And you know what God did? Absolutely nothing. God was silent all the way through middle school. And then in ninth grade, Mandy went to a different school. But have you ever wanted God to show up and work a miracle on your behalf? You thought, if I could just see God do something big, then I could believe in him. Maybe you're asking God for a miracle right now. Maybe you're saying, God, I need to understand Common Core math and I need you to do something right now. Or maybe it's something more serious than that, a lot more serious. Maybe it's your marriage and you're saying, God, we need a miracle. We don't want it to be awful, but we need a miracle. Maybe it's your health right now. Maybe you've got concerns for yourself or for someone that you love and you're saying, God, we need a miracle of provision and protection. Maybe it's with your finances or your job. Maybe you're concerned about what the future holds for the economy. Maybe you're concerned about your retirement account. Maybe it's for the next school year and for what's ahead longer term. Or maybe you're just asking God to help your company stay afloat. Maybe it's a business that you started. But whatever it is, you're asking God and saying, God, I need you to do a miracle. And if you would just show up, if you would do something big, that would just help me to believe. I would know that you are there. I would know that you are still good, that you are still great, that you still have the whole world in your hands. But the problem is that we often don't see God at work in our world, right? Oftentimes, God's work is invisible, and often it seems like God is silent, and so it becomes very difficult for us to believe. And as the stakes get higher, the harder it is for us to believe. Sometimes the stakes are real high. Maybe you've had a situation in your past. Maybe this is even why you walked away from faith at some point, because the stakes were really high. Maybe someone that you love, maybe their life was on the line and you decided you were going to go big. You were going to ask God for a miracle. And now that person's gone. And that person's gone forever. And you've said, you know what? I'm going to look for somewhere else to place my faith. Well, I have good news for you today, and that is that you can have hope. You can have faith in God, and we can come to believe and to understand that God is at work even when we don't see him, and that God is doing amazing and good things in my life and in yours. And if you've turned your back on that, if you've walked away from faith, I want you to know that you're in really good company, because the stories of the Bible are stories of real people documenting their own unbelief, who are saying, I believed and then things didn't work out for me and I unbelieved. And then I believed again and then things didn't work out for me and I unbelieved. And God repeatedly coming to us and helping to remind us of his faithfulness in our lives. You know, there's a great verse in Romans chapter 8 that says, and God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And you might say, yeah, but I know someone and it didn't work out good for them in the end. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, we need to look back at the nation of Israel. Back to when they had just spent 40 years wandering in the desert. And after 40 years of wandering in the desert, there was an entire generation of Israelites who had been born and raised in the desert. They had never known Egypt. They'd never known slavery. They'd never seen God free them from Pharaoh's hand. But they'd heard the stories. They heard the stories from their parents of how God did all of these amazing miracles on Israel's behalf. In fact, probably the biggest of all the stories was the story where Pharaoh's army is approaching from one side and the Red Sea is on the other side and God's people are trapped. And then God tells Moses to reach his staff out over the water and the water parts and the nation of Israel is saved as they walk across on dry land. That was a story that they remembered and they told and they thought, man, now that we've seen this, when we've seen God work like this in our lives, we'll never not believe. We will always remember God is good and God is great. And then just a little bit later, Moses leaves them for all of 10 minutes and they melt down all of their gold and they make an idol, a golden calf that they decide to worship instead of God. Because God's people are forgetful and you and I are forgetful. So fast forward a little bit, and Moses hands off the leadership for the nation of Israel to Joshua, a young warrior. And Joshua gets to finally lead Israel into the promised land. They're 40 years late, but hey, they get there. And the way that God brings them in, he brings them in from the east, and so they have to cross the Jordan River to get there. And there's this really cool story where they get to the Jordan River and the water is high and they don't know how they're going to get across. And God says, when your soles of your feet touch the water, I will stop the Jordan River. I will part the water and you'll walk across on dry ground. Sound familiar? It's a really cool way for God to remind them that the same way that he brought them out of Egypt, the same God that brought them out of Egypt, was the God that was going to bring them into Israel. And so they did. They acted in faith and God did exactly what he promised. God did a miracle. He parted the waters of the Jordan River and all of Israel walked across on dry ground. But before the waters resumed, God asked them to do one more thing. He asked Moses to select a leader, or I'm sorry, Joshua, to select a leader. One from each of the 12 families of Israel to go back into the river and to select a large rock and to carry it to the shore where they were standing at Gilgal. And this is what he said. This is what happened when they were on the shore of the Jordan River at Gilgal. Let me read from Joshua chapter 4. Joshua erected a monument at the Gilgal using the 12 stones that they had taken from the Jordan. And then he told the people of Israel, in the days to come, when your children ask their parents, what are these stones doing here? Tell your children this, Israel crossed on dry ground. Yes, God, your God, dried up the Jordan's waters for you until you had crossed, just as God, your God, did at the Red Sea, which had dried up before us until we crossed. Why? Why would God do this? This was so that everybody on earth would recognize how strong God's rescuing hand is. So that you'd know how great God is. And so that you would hold God in solemn reverence always. Don't ever forget, God is good. God is great. You need to be reminded that God is good and that God is great. This is why he had Joshua set up these stones as a remembrance, that they would come back with their children, that other people would ask, and they would always have an answer to say, this is to remind us that God provided for us. This is to remind us that God is good and God is great. And you need to be reminded today that God is good and that God is great. How have you seen God at work in your life? We have a saying in our house that we've used for years, which is God's idea of better really is better. In other words, God is good. God has our best interests at heart. And when we didn't get the part that we hoped for, we didn't get the job that we hoped for, when we didn't make the team that we hoped we would make, we would say God's idea of better really is better. And even though sometimes those are hard words to swallow, they're true. They're real. And they're effective in our lives. And you need to be reminded that God is great. You know, if you were to talk to the followers of Jesus, the initial followers of Jesus, the disciples, and you were to ask them, when did God do his greatest work? They would say, God did his greatest work when we were at our point of greatest despair, when Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified. And then they would tell you what it felt like on that Saturday, that Saturday that Jesus' dead body lay in a tomb. And on that silent Saturday, when they were full of despair and they had lost all hope and they had forgotten just how good and how great God is, God did his greatest work. And when the stone was rolled away, our faith was birthed out of a place of death and darkness. And we have hope and we have life today because God did his greatest work when we were not always aware of what he had done. And so you have a choice today. You have a choice. You can ask yourself, am I going to continue to believe even when I don't see any evidence that God is at work in my life? Am I going to continue to trust even when I don't see any evidence that God is at work in this world? And I want to draw you back to that story with Joshua just one more time. It says that so that, right? Those are two really important words. So that God did this so that everybody in the world, everybody on the earth would know that God is good and that God is great. You see, your story is not just for you. Your story of God's faithfulness isn't just for you. It's to benefit others as well. It's to inspire your brothers and sisters that God is good, that God is great, that he still has the whole world in his hands. So I want to ask you to do something today. I want to give you some homework if I could. I want you to first start by writing down the ways that you have seen God be faithful in your life. If you've never done this exercise, just start with what you've seen God do in the last year and then work backward from there. But ask yourself, how have I seen God show up? How have I seen God be faithful? How has God provided for us when our backs were against the wall and God was the only hope that we had? I want you to make a list of these ways that you've seen God, stones of remembrance in your life to remember God's goodness. And then I want you to pick one of those. And I want you to get a poster board or a large piece of paper or bust up a cardboard box like I did here. And I want you to get a marker. And I want you to write on this poster board or piece of cardboard, I want you to write the one thing, the one remembrance, the one incident, the one circumstance where you saw God show up and provide in your life. Finish this sentence. I saw God provide when? And then tell us. We want you to hold this up and have somebody take a picture of you with your story of how God showed up in your life. And then send these in to videos@accesschurch.com. Email these pictures in. And we're going to make a video of all of our stories together of how God has shown up and how God has been so good. Because your story is not just for you. It's to inspire others and to tell everybody on earth of God's faithfulness, of God's greatness, of God's goodness. Here's mine. I don't know if anybody remembers 2009. It was kind of a rough season. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of businesses went under. It was a rough season. And we had just started Access Church. We were a young church and we didn't have a lot. And then we had nothing. And when I say the church ran out of money, I don't mean like a moment in time. I mean months and months where our balance sheet was shot, where sometimes we got paid late and sometimes we didn't get paid at all. And so our trust in God was for his provision for our family and his provision for our church and for the vision that we had for what God would do through Access Church in this community. And many of you watching today, you have come to be a part of Access Church since 2009. And the fact that God showed up and he provided through the generosity of his people, Your life has been impacted by that. And we've seen God do so many great things in the lives of so many people. But in those moments, in those days, in those months, we were wondering, is God going to come through? Is God going to show up? Is God going to answer our prayers? Are we going to see a miracle? You have a choice today. Are you going to continue to believe even when you don't see any activity of God's work in your life? Are you going to continue to trust even when you don't see any evidence of God's work in your life? Because sometimes when God is silent, sometimes when God is invisible, is when he is doing his greatest work. You can believe. Because if the story isn't good, the story isn't over yet. God has an eternal perspective. He has a different perspective. He has an eternal lens through which he sees your life and my life. And he is doing something in your life and my life that we may not understand for a while. We may not understand for a long, long time. But we can rest in this promise that God is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Not for the good of those who God loves, right? That would be everybody. But God has said, no, this is for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Have you put your life in God's hands? Have you made a decision to say, I'm going to put my life in God's hands. I am going to love God and I'm going to allow my life to be used for his purpose. I would love for you to take that step today to say, God, I'm going to trust you, not because I know the outcome, but because that's exactly what faith is, putting my life in your hands when I don't know what the future holds, when I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I'm going to trust in you because I believe that you are good, that you are great, and that you still have the whole world in your hands. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes it just takes him a while. I've asked the band to come back and to sing one song that I would love for you to sing with us because I think it's a great response to this message and to this promise in our lives. So I would love for you to sing this with us. And then I'm going to be back. Don't leave. I'm going to be back and just give you some instructions before we sign off today.